There's almost nothing quite as exciting as being away on a gospel meeting on a Wednesday night, calling home to talk with my wife after I'm done with the preaching there, trying to make sure we get to make connection each night. And she says, "I can't talk right now. We're about to baptize somebody." That is just a wonderful thing. And so I am super excited, and I believe Miss Terry Joseph is with us today, but super excited. I have not gotten to meet her yet, so I'm looking forward to getting to meet her when we're done here this morning, I hope. But what a great, great experience. And the amazing thing is, and the reason why I want to bring that up this morning, number one, of course, is for us just to rejoice again at God's amazing grace at saving another person. But also because that is a baptism that's been 8 years in the making. I got to talk with our brother Chris last night, and he said their conversation started about 8 years ago. They met about 8 years ago. Conversation started a few years later. And I just want to highlight that the reason that happened this week, of course, first and foremost, because of Jesus Christ's death on the cross, because of the grace of God, because of the revelation from His Holy Spirit that we're able to read and know about. But God uses us. And because there was someone who is willing to make a personal connection and have a spiritual conversation, we have a new sister in Christ. A personal connection and a spiritual conversation. Our theme this year is about disciple making disciples. We want to be disciple making disciples. Where our prayer is that this congregation will be a disciple making congregation. We are not satisfied with merely playing church or maintaining house. We want to make disciples. That means taking everyone who is already here and making us more like Jesus. And that means taking as many people who aren't here and making them more like Jesus. And while there might be 100 steps involved in that process, there are two things that I hope we'll focus on. That we understand that if we did these two things, making disciples is what would happen. And those two things are making personal connections, having spiritual conversations. If we are making connections with people that we meet, with new people, with old people, making connections between people, and if we are willing to have, and if we're having spiritual conversations, guess what will happen? Disciples will be made. And we've seen that happen this week. Now, it's not that I have a personal connection and have a spiritual conversation and someone gets baptized tonight. It may mean that I made a personal connection and a week later we have a spiritual conversation, and another week later we have another spiritual conversation, and another year later we have another spiritual conversation, and 8 years later they get baptized. But never underestimate how God is going to use whatever it is that you do this week to make disciples. Never underestimate that. This week, we are preparing for a very special outreach event that we are doing. We've talked about the fact that when it comes to leading others to God, we have a two-pronged approach. There's the go and tell, and we've got our evangelism tool that we're starting to train folks on and how to use, and we pray that you will go and tell people. And then there's also the come and see. Come see Jesus. Come see Christ Church. Come see this congregation. So we have a very special effort that's going to be culminating in next week's Sunday morning assembly, what we're calling our Meet the Church Day. We're going to have a lesson entitled, Christ Church is Awesome. And what we've been focusing on is come and see, inviting people, letting them know, I am super excited. We've got 150 invitations already marked on the board back there. By next week, we're going to have 850 more. Can I get an amen on that? All right. And I know we're going to have 850 more because we had like 1,500 of these cards printed and all of them were gone. We had to go have more of them printed. All right? Praise the Lord for that. Thank you for that. If you haven't gotten your cards because you went on Wednesday night and you saw they were all gone, there are more back there now. Take some invitation cards. Invite some folks. Invite your neighbors. Invite your family. Invite your friends. Invite people that you know that were one-time faithful Christians that have left the Lord. Invite them to come and re-meet Christ Church. Talk to your bank teller. Talk to your grocery store clerk. Talk to your insurance salesman. Talk to those folks. I know, and I hope you read today's article, because I know that what we want to say to ourselves is this. Well, cold contacts don't work as well as warm contacts. I know that. That's absolutely true. Most of the cold contacts that we invite, they're going to ignore us. But I know this. Cold contacts work better than no contacts. And that's the one we're trying to avoid. We're not trying to avoid the cold contacts. We're trying to avoid the no contacts. We want to invite folks. Just a couple of weeks ago, I was leaving the gym. This was not long after the hurricane went through. Made a connection with someone. How did you fare in the hurricane? Well, we did really well, you know, and it was really good. We were surprised. We thought it was going to be really bad. I said, oh, I know, that's the way it was at our house. We were just very blessed, very blessed. Hey, I got a question for you. Yeah, what's that? Do you have a church home? Because I love mine. And my church home is having a very special Meet the Church Day in just a couple of weeks. I'd love to tell you about it. Love for you to come, because I found out he lived essentially right around the corner from me. Just another neighborhood over. So our congregation meets right around here. We'd love for you to come. Pulled out the card because I keep them in my phone. And, you know, you have to have your phone everywhere, even at the gym. Pulled out that card, handed it to him. And he said, you know, haven't been going to church as much as I should. Been going to my mother-in-law's church, but it's a little bit further away. We really are looking for a new church home. Now, I don't know if that guy's going to show up or not. But here is a person that when asked, yeah, man, I really need to do that. You have no idea who that person might be. That person might be, even though a cold contact, the Samaritan woman. And that's what I want to talk to you about for just a few moments this morning. Because if you're like me, one of the things that I have to share is when somebody gets here, I'm pretty good at that conversation. When somebody actually gets into a Bible study, I think I'm really good at that conversation. I don't have any problems with that. I don't have any fears about that. I don't have any personal concerns about being able to do that. I love doing that. The thing that makes me shake in my boots is asking a person to come. Asking them for a Bible study. That's the thing that scares me to death. And so if you're like me, I want to share with you from an expert evangelist, not me, but someone who's an expert, at least did it really well, the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. I want us to learn some things about offering invitations, because this week you're going to be offering 2, 3, 4, 5 invitations for folks to show up at our Meet the Church Day next week. And I just want to share with you several lessons that we can learn from this Samaritan woman. And I just want you to know that if this Samaritan woman can offer invitations, guess what you can do? You can offer an invitation. You can do it. So let's see if we can open up John chapter 4 and learn about offering invitations so that next week we'll have that 500. We'll have that chart filled back there and we'll be offering these invitations. Before we unpack this, would you please bow with me in prayer? Almighty God and Father in heaven, you are the wondrous and amazing God. We are here this morning because of your grace and mercy, not because of our might and power and work, but because of you and your Son who died on the cross for us, whose blood cleanses us from our sins, whose sacrifice renews us and strengthens us and empowers us to bring glory to your name, whose Spirit fills us and strengthens our inner being with your power, whose presence fills us with your fullness. We are amazed, Father, that you love us as you do, that you have died, you sent your Son to die for us. And because of that, we are here to worship and honor you, to remember your Son, to heed the words of your Spirit. And we want more people to be a part of that. We want to overcome our fears. We want to be courageous. We want to be strong. We want to be disciple-making disciples. We pray that you would conquer our fears, that you would give us courage and boldness, that this week we would do those simplest of tasks and simply invite someone to be with us during our assembly next week. Father, we love and praise you, and we are so thankful that you have loved us first. We long for you. We long to be with you, and we long for others to know and declare your name as well. We're so thankful for our new sister. We pray that you would bless her in her walk with you and her family. We pray that you be with those who are considering this morning becoming your children, that their hearts would be moved, that they would make that step. that you would that you would bless them, be patient with them, encourage them to join with us in your army. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us first. Through your Son Jesus we pray, amen. Many of you are already well aware of the story of the Samaritan woman at the well. I'm just going to share with you what's happening in John chapter 4. Jesus is traveling from Judea to Galilee, and rather than doing what so many Jews would do, crossing the Jordan, going up north and going back across into Galilee, he went straight through the region of Samaria. And they got to a city of Sychar, where Jacob's well had been dug. And Jesus was tired and hungry, and so the apostles have gone into the city of Sychar to get some food. And Jesus is waiting out at a well, the well, outside of town. And while he is there, a Samaritan woman comes up. And Jesus, as she is drawing water, asks her, "Give me a drink." And she says to him, "Why do you speak to me, being a Samaritan woman?" And he says, "If you knew who I was, you would be asking me for living water, and I would give to you." And then she asks some questions about, really, you know, are you like Jacob, having built this well? And then Jesus goes on and says to her, "Get your husband." And she says, "I have no husband." And so Jesus says to her, "You're right, you don't have a husband, for you've had five husbands, and the person you're living with now, you're not married to." And she says, "I perceive that you are a prophet." And she asks him some questions about worshiping. And then Jesus says to her, "You Samaritans worship what you don't know, but we worship what we know. But there is an hour that's coming when it won't matter whether it's in this mountain or our mountain back in Jerusalem that you worship God. Because what'll matter is what's always mattered. And it'll be the only thing that matters. And that is that you worship in spirit and truth." The apostles come back and they see that Jesus is talking with this woman. And they're surprised and shocked. What's going on? The woman leaves her water pot at the well and she goes back into town. Why did she leave her water pot at the well? Because she had something more important to do than get water. And that was, she went to go get people. And she went into the exact same town that the apostles went into. The apostles came out and they brought food. The woman came back and she brought a bunch of people. And she went there and said, "Come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" And a bunch of people came out, and a bunch of people believed. Some of them believed because of her testimony. Some of them believed because they came and talked to Jesus, and they believed him. Here is an expert at inviting, and that's what I hope we can learn from this morning. The very first thing that I hope we can learn from this is, do not be hindered by your past. Do not be hindered by your past. There are so many of us here that are saying, "Why would anybody ever listen to an invitation from me? They know the sins I've committed. They know the things that I've done." I want you to consider who this woman was. A woman who had had five failed marriages and now was living with someone. But when she had met the Messiah, she went in and she told them, "I just met a man. Come see him. He told me everything I did. Maybe this is the Christ. Come check him out. Come see him." And they did. The fact is, the most profound invitation can be offered by those whose lives have been changed by the gospel, not by those who have seemingly looked perfect for the whole time. And so people may know how you have lived in the past, but do not let that hinder you. And even if your past is not that far behind you, place a stake in the ground with your Savior Jesus Christ, that your life is different by his grace. And get busy letting other people know about the forgiveness that you have in him. Invite them to come. Don't be hindered by your past. The second principle that I learned from this Samaritan woman, or at least this story, don't miss the spiritual needs. Don't be so distracted by the earthly needs that you're involved in that you miss the spiritual needs. Here in John, the apostles went into the very same town, verse 8, for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. They went into the exact same town that the woman went into. They came back with food, but she came back with people. That's my problem most of the time. I'm going to the gym to go to the gym. I'm forcing myself to go to the gym. I hate going to the gym. And so now I'm supposed to be at the gym. I got to make sure to do this. I've got to walk. and I want to go home. And there's all those people around me that need the gospel. But I'm so focused on getting this task done that I miss that. I'm going to work. Well, of course, my problem is now when I go to work, it's only Andrew. But he needs the gospel. So I try to have spiritual conversations with him all the time. But I've had times when I've gone to work and I wasn't surrounded by Christians, but I'm at work and I'm at work. I'm here to make money. I'm here to get this job done and then go home and put food on the table. And miss all the people that are around me. I go to the store. I go to the bank. I go to the insurance salesman's office. I go to Procopy. I go wherever it is that I'm going. And in my mind, I've got this job to do, and I've got this job to do, and I've got this task to get done, and I've got that task to get done. And my mind is so focused on all of those things that I forget the disciple making is what I'm supposed to be about. And here are lost people. I don't know what's going to happen with this lost person. This lost person may be in the obituaries next week. The woman went into town and she brought back people. The apostles went into town and they brought back food. Yes, we need food. Go to work, put food on the table. But don't forget that we're supposed to be making disciples wherever we go. Don't be so distracted by the earthly needs that you miss the spiritual needs. The third thing that I learned from this Samaritan woman is make the invitation simple. There in verse 29, it's just very simple. Come see a man. Come see a man. Make it simple. Don't make it overwhelming. She doesn't say, you have to come see this man. She says, come see a man. Come check this guy out. He might be the Messiah. Come check him out. When you offer your invitation, it doesn't have to be this all this pomp and circumstance. It doesn't have to be all this amazing rhetoric. Just make it very simple. I'm going to tell you what. You want to know a very simple invitation? Trina went out to the neighbor's house yesterday and she came back and said, I invited one of our neighbors. Didn't know what I was inviting him to, but I invited him. I said, next time ask. I said, but you know what? Good job for inviting. She said, well, I told him we're having this very special day. Hope you can come. When they asked what's going on that day, I told them, I don't know. Hey, that's simple. I don't know, just come. All right, look guys, Trina is 9 years old. And she's got one more invitation in already than some of you. All right, so let's everybody do better than Trina. Right? But you got to watch out. She's got two other people she's going to ask this week. So you're going to have to catch up with her. But just simple. It doesn't have to be overwhelming. You know, it doesn't have to be this. Listen, this is the most important decision of your life. You need to come to church with me this week. This is the most important Bible lesson you will ever hear. Let me ask you, are you interested this week in making the most important decision of your life? Or are you thinking, man, I may want to wait on that one for a little bit? We know that ultimately it's the most important decision of their life, but you don't have to open with that. Come see a church. Come meet the congregation. Keep it simple. It doesn't have to be overwhelming. That's all this woman did. Come see a man. We can learn from that. And we can do that anytime. It doesn't have to be just this week. The fourth thing that I hope we learn is recommend a specific reason. There in John chapter 4 and verse 29, she said, come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? She gave a reason. I want you to check this guy out. And the reason I want you to check this out is because this thing happened. I think he might be the Messiah that the Jews and we have been waiting for. Give him a specific reason. You ought to come meet this church. What reasons might you recommend for this congregation? Please come. You ought to come check out this church. We have just great Bible classes. I learned so much in the Bible classes. Do you want to learn the Bible? Then you ought to come check out this church. Come see this church because we learn so much from the Bible. You like spiritual music, you like music, you like singing, you ought to come see this church because, man, we've got some wonderful singing. The teaching is great. We've got some great shepherds. We have great family. We've got great relationships. They got great goals. They're helping me be a disciple. Whatever the record, they've got good looking preachers, or at least one. I'm not going to tell, you'll decide which one. What's the recommendation? What specific thing might you recommend? Come see this church. Come check this out. And when you've invited them, let the church speak for itself. That's what the Samaritan woman did. The Samaritan woman did not try to mold Jesus into the very pleasing image and pleasing Savior that she wanted him to be. The fact is, for all she knew, all those Samaritans would come back out and Jesus would lead off with what he said to her. I know what I'm worshiping and you don't. I mean, did you notice that's what he said to her? And oftentimes what happens is we want to wait to invite somebody until we're absolutely certain that there's going to be the golden Sunday when nobody says anything goofy, when nobody does anything dumb, when the close talkers and the weird people have decided to go on vacation, and we're waiting for that to happen, and when that happens, then we'll offer the golden invitation. But guys, this church is filled with people and people make mistakes. And we're just going to have to come to grips with that. But do you realize that our God is so powerful that he can use even this congregation with some of our weirdos and some of our close talkers and some of our scary looking people and some of our whatever. God can use that. God can use that. It's about God's ability, not about us. And so this woman, even though Jesus had said that to her, you worship what you don't know, we worship what we know, she still went into town and said, you guys need to go meet him. She had no idea what he was going to say. She had no idea how he was going to act. She just let him speak for himself. And many believed. And if you get your friend to come and something crazy happens, pray that God will use it anyway. Pray that God will use it anyway. You'll be amazed. You know, the fact is, I've been talking to people who've been involved in evangelism long enough that the thing that happened that made your friend mad, I can find somebody else who can say, that's what happened and it caused my friend to be baptized. I mean, I know that there are people that have gone and heard a sermon that said, this church is wrong. And they got mad and they said, I'm never coming back. But I can find you another person that went and heard a sermon that said the church they attended was wrong. And that was the thing that caused them to turn to the Lord. I mean, God can use it, whatever it is. We certainly try to train ourselves to be wise and be welcoming and do what's right and not try to put obstacles up. But even if that happens, let Christ and his church speak for itself. And just keep pressing on. Just keep pressing on. Keep inviting. Keep talking to people. If you have to go talk to somebody afterwards, hey, man, don't do that anymore. Then do that. But keep inviting, keep talking to people. Let the church, let Christ speak for themselves. That's what the Samaritan woman did. Please be prepared to understand that not everyone will believe. Not everyone will believe. This Samaritan woman went into town and there were a whole bunch of people that came back. But if you notice in verse 39, many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. Verse 41, and many more believed because of his word. But it's many, it's not all. Here's the reality. Most of the people you invite will not come. Most of the people that come will not come back. Most of the people that come back will not study with us. Most of the people we study with will not be converted. But some of them will be the Samaritan woman. Don't be upset if you offer 10 invitations and only one shows up. In fact, don't be upset if you offer 10 invitations and nobody shows up. The only reason we should be upset is if this is all said and done, and we have to say to ourselves, I didn't offer any invitations. That's when we should be upset. Not everybody is going to believe. You know, maybe I should have gone ahead and put in another point here, because I want us to believe in success. I want us to recognize that some will believe. And sometimes it's many will believe. You might make 10 invitations and 9 people show up. That might happen. You might make four invitations and three show up. And they brought, each one of them brought somebody with them. So you made four invitations, but six people showed up. Wouldn't that be awesome? Not everybody's going to believe. So don't turn away because of that rejection. The only failure is if we don't offer invitations. If we offer the invitations, we've been successful. We've done our job. Keep on inviting. And the final thing I hope we recognize is the urgency. Is the urgency. In verse 28, the woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people. Probably the only way we could understand how important this is, because we're not used to having to go to the well to fetch water. If we want water, we take our cup over to the refrigerator and put it on the little thing in the refrigerator, and then we complain because that little spigot's not putting water out fast enough for us. Probably the only way we could understand how urgent she must have seen this is, I want you to think back a couple of weeks ago when you were at Publix or you were at Walmart or you were at wherever you were and you were trying to get water before the hurricane. You remember that? Anybody remember doing that? And imagine meeting somebody that so impressed you that you set the one water jug that you got down and went to go find somebody and said, look, you got to come meet this guy. That's what it would be like. She left the water that she came out to the well to get there, went back into the town because it was just that urgent to her. It was just that important. She didn't take her water and go do whatever she was going to do with the water and then say, oh, I might talk to somebody later. It was so urgent to her that she left her water pot at the well and she went into the town and she started talking to people. I just met a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he be the Messiah? You need to come see this guy. Come see this man. Recognize the urgency. Recognize the urgency. We have no idea how much time we have left. And we have no idea how much time anyone around us has left. It's urgent. It's urgent. We got a Facebook campaign for this meeting, for this day that's going to start up tonight at 12:01, go through next Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. And when I plugged in that we want it to go to Wesley Chapel and Duluth and Land O'Lakes and Temple Terrace and Tampa, it said that we have the possible reach of 1.7 million people. 1.7 million people. Out of that number, how many of you do you think are actually still going to be alive by next Sunday? There's going to be a number of those folks that aren't even going to be alive next Sunday. This may be the only opportunity some of them have to hear the gospel. They might say no to you, but then again, they might say yes. You have no idea. And it doesn't matter how old they are, this may be their last week. For all we know, on October 2nd, I mean, I know it didn't happen yesterday, but for all we know, on October 2nd, it might be the end of the world. We don't know. Recognize the urgency. See, this is the problem for us when it comes to things like inviting people to church. Well, if they don't come next Sunday, there's always October 8th. We've got to remember there's not always October 8th. I don't know when the Lord's going to return. And neither do you. Recognize the urgency. I know we can't get everybody we're not going to invite 1.7 million people between now and next Sunday. But we can invite 1,000 of them. And this may be the only opportunity those 1,000 have to hear the gospel. And we can be a part of that. Recognize the urgency. On Thursday, flew in from the gospel meeting and we had to stop by the bank. Walked into the bank. Was the only customer there. Was talking with the teller. And again, I told you, I'm really not very good at this. I don't have just the smoothest way. My problem is I want to wait for that golden opportunity where everything just falls into place. And it's almost like they ask me, hey, do you know of a church I should attend? And I'm waiting for that to happen. Of course, when I'm waiting for that to happen, I never offer an invitation. So I don't know. I don't always have just the best way. So I just looked at her and said, hey, you mind if I ask you an awkward question? Because that's what you think, right? It's awkward to ask people to come to church, isn't it? Anybody else agree with me? That's an awkward question. I want to do it, but it's awkward. So I just said, you mind if I ask you an awkward question? She looked at me and said, you want to ask me an awkward question? And I said, well, some people think it's awkward. I just wanted to ask, do you go to church somewhere? And she said, I used to. I was going to my grandparents' church, but man, I don't really care for that one. So I'm really kind of looking for a church home. No kidding. Well, let me tell you about my church that I love. And we're having a special day where you can meet the church. She just lives right around the corner. She lives in your neighborhood, Dan. Over there by, you live over by Denham Oaks, right? Yeah, she lives over there. I said, it's right around the corner from you. Gave her the card. She said, well, I'm looking for a church home, but there are just so many churches out there. I don't even know where to begin. I said, no kidding. You know what? I actually have a Bible study that I take people through on where did all the churches come from. My wife and I could sit down with you and go through that sometime. Would you be interested in that? That'd be great. I'll talk with my wife. I'll get back together with you. We'll set that up. Bank teller. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with that. I don't know what's... But look, I get it. It's awkward. Just go and admit it's awkward. Just ask people, can I ask you an awkward question? If they say no, okay. If they say yes, ask. You have no idea what it's going to turn into. They might show up next week. They might show up a month from now. They might see you 5 years later and say, I remember you. I need to talk to you. But do something this week because it's urgent. It's urgent. Recognize the urgency. We've got 850 more invitations we're saying we're going to make this week. Will you be committed? To make three of them. If each of us can make three, we'll blow that little circle out of the water. If all you can do is one, that's okay. And if you've already made some invitations that you haven't marked, please mark them for us. We're not watching you. You're not shining the light on your good works. You're encouraging your brothers and sisters that there are other people in this room that are making invitations. If they can do it, I can too. Please understand that. That is influencing folks. People look at that chart and they see people are inviting. I can do that too. Make sure you mark that. Christ Church is awesome. And next Sunday, we're going to be letting people know why. We want as many folks here as we can get here. Just ask them. Come see a church. You can put your notes away now if you'd like. Pull your songbook out. If you want to follow along in a songbook. The words will be up on the screen behind me. We are not having a come meet the church day because we want this building to be full. We are having a come meet the church day because we want heaven to be full. There are people around us lost and dying, and they do not know where they're going. We know who can save them, and we want to introduce them. If you're here this morning and you have not come to Jesus, I want to invite you to come see a man. He's a man who can not only tell you all that you've ever done, he can tell you all that you'll ever do. And despite knowing all that you've ever done and knowing all that you'll ever do, he went to the cross to die for your sins so that they could be washed away, so that you could be empowered to be like him, strengthened to walk hand in hand with him. We want to give you the opportunity this morning to come be part of Him. We're going to sing a song. And while we sing that song, what we're doing is we're inviting you to come down to the front so that you can let us know, I want to be a child of God. I want the forgiveness that Jesus offers. I want to be a part of His awesome church. I want to have the awesome forgiveness that He gives. This message is urgent. If the Lord doesn't return, we'll be back tonight doing that again. You can always hold off till tonight. But then again, we might not be able to come back tonight. The world may end. You may die on your way home. It will never be easier to turn to the Lord than it is right now. If we can help you turn to Him this morning, we invite you to come right down to the front while we're singing this song.